The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, you turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Let Noah go first. Okay.
A reading from Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkness counsel? Who is this that darkness that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 104 responsively. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with majesty and splendor.
You wrap yourself with light as the cloak, and stretch out the heavens like a tent.
You lay the beams of your chambers in the waters above. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind.
You make the winds your messengers, and flames of fire your servants.
You set the earth upon its foundations, so that from now until forever it shall never be moved.
You cover it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains.
At your rebuke the waters fled, scattered by your voice of thunder.
They went up into the mountains and descended down to the valleys, to the place where you assigned them.
You set the limits that they should not pass. Never shall they return to cover the earth again.
O Lord, how manifold your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
I went to a movie last week called Still Walking. And in that movie, there is a scene where the grouchy grandfather is meeting for the first time his new grandson, step-grandson. He's 8 or 9 years old. And the father, the grandfather, says to the little boy, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And when the boy responds that he wants to be a piano tuner, the grandfather really ridicules him. And he says, "You should have a choice, you should make a choice of a noble profession, one that brings honor and respect to your family." Later in the movie, we find out that this little boy's deceased father had been a piano tuner. Now, I think Jesus would have liked that movie. He would have understood it, at least better than James and John would have. The son was seeking to be like his father rather than seeking greatness. He really understood what it meant to be great. So they're on the road to Jerusalem, and Jesus had tried to warn them, tried at least three times to tell them of the suffering and the persecution that was awaiting them in Jerusalem. In fact, Jesus had told them that death was awaiting him. And the disciples were shocked. They were amazed. So they tried to change the subject. And this time it's James and John, these brothers who have been with Jesus from the very beginning. They're the ones that want to change the subject. They come up alongside Jesus as they're walking down the road, matching his stride, their stride with his, so that they can easily walk and talk with him. And they ask for this moment of personal privilege. "Can we talk with you for a minute?" You know, kind of a private aside that they're asking. Now, a more intuitive, sensitive friend would have sidled up next to Jesus and tried to give him some support and some encouragement as he was marching toward his persecution and death. But James and John use this moment to ask for a personal favor. They know, they believe that when they arrive in Jerusalem, things are going to happen. There is going to be a big change. Jesus is going to be the new king in Israel. He's going to roust all the Romans and those who are in charge, the current powers that be. He's going to start naming his cabinet and awarding positions of power and honor and authority. James and John want to make sure that Jesus recognizes their assets and that they are indeed his right hand and left hand men. That had to be one of the most disappointing conversations for Jesus. If even his best friends miss the point, can there be any hope for the others? Weren't they paying attention when Jesus placed in front of them that little child and said to them, "Be like this"? Weren't they listening when Jesus told the rich man to sell everything that he had and give it to the poor? Weren't they looking at him and the way he was living his life? Weren't they looking at him as their role model? But as disappointed as Jesus might have been, must have been, he doesn't chide them. He doesn't take them down a notch. He says, in fact, he even encourages it. Greatness, that's a wonderful thing to strive for. You've got it in you. You can do it. You can follow me. You can be great. You just have to change your definition a little bit. You just have to understand what greatness means. Greatness in Jesus' kingdom is not what they think it is. It's not about sitting at the right hand or at the left hand. Jesus' kingdom turns everything upside down and says, this is the way greatness is. It's not about having a lot of money or winning awards. Greatness in Jesus' kingdom is measured by service. Whoever wants to be great must be a servant. I think James and John and the rest of the disciples were shocked when they heard that, but I don't think they're any more shocked than we are. It just doesn't make sense. Greatness means power, authority. Greatness means a pay raise, a plaque to hang on your office wall. Greatness means your face on the cover of whatever magazine. Greatness means a noble and respectable profession that brings honor to your family, not in Jesus' upside-down kingdom. Greatness in Jesus' kingdom can only be measured in service, in giving back, in generosity. Jesus told his friends and us, if you want to be great, become a servant. The first among you must be slave of all. Interesting use of that word, isn't it? Must be a slave of all, not a volunteer. A slave is one who works because they have to. They have no choice. Jesus says to us, be the slave of all. Because this is who you are. And he went on to show them and to tell them that this is how he lived his life. Not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus says that God is much more concerned about compassion and service than he is concerned about ritual purity or religious power or prestige. Living that compassion and service is what Jesus is all about. Living in that upside-down kingdom, Jesus was all about healing, about accepting the unacceptable, touching the untouchable, feeding the hungry, welcoming the needy. He lived that kingdom life until on a Friday afternoon, he poured himself out, dying as a ransom for many, as a ransom for you and for me. We today, Jesus followers, are called to live lives of compassion and service. I talked earlier about bread for the world, an opportunity offered to us today that this organization that connects thousands of people of goodwill across our nation to give Congress and the president the urge that they need to change policies and invest resources, promote free trade, and end hunger in our world, in our nation, in our city. Tomorrow, a number of people from our congregation will come here and take all the quilts and the layettes and the school kits that have been prepared and assembled and put together and now are packed in boxes. And these will go off to Claremont Lutheran Church, where there's a semi waiting for all the boxes for Lutheran World Relief from around the city, packed onto that semi and taken to a distribution center. Do you know where that is, where the distribution center is? Is this in Maryland? So there it will be distributed to 35 different countries as needs come up throughout the year. Yesterday, some of our parish members went to Miracle Ranch in Tecate. They took curtains that have been sewed out of donated fabric that we had here and that was donated here, and the curtains were made and taken down, hung in the boys' living room. And other people on that work trip yesterday nailed, pounded nails, and as they continue to work on the finishing up of that girl's dormitory. They're really eager to get this finished. There's 11 people living in a two-bedroom home right now. It's the home of one of the couples with their three children who live in this little house, and all the girls are living with them now because they don't have any, I mean, they just kept getting these girls at the orphanage. So there's 11 people living in this one little home. So they're very eager to get this house finished for the girls' dormitory. Our congregational council met last week, and one of the discussion items was the ELCA, our church malaria initiative. And the evangelism committee is geared up to partner with the youth committee and are making plans, stepping out to partner in this with the church, with the United Nations, with the Gates Foundation, with the church-wide body of our Lutherans in the United States, and together working to eradicate malaria. You know, for $10, you can buy an insecticide-treated mosquito net, and then that net would allow someone to sleep mosquito-free and not be bitten by the mosquito that carries the malaria. This is a disease that is killing people around the world, and it can be eradicated. So the evangelism committee of our church and the youth committee are going to get together and figure out a way that we can participate in that eradication of malaria. There are wonderful things happening in our congregation as we reach out and look at opportunities to be compassionate, generous, supportive as we respond to that invitation of Jesus to follow him. Later on this month, you'll receive a letter asking you about your annual pledge for regular support to St. Peter's. It is only through your generosity, through your compassion and service, that we are able to reach out with God's message of grace and of mercy. This current economic situation that our nation is in has impacted our church. We tried to keep our expenses down, and yet we don't want to reduce the benevolence to the many wonderful charities that we support in our own congregation and through the synod, where our money expands that compassion and service way beyond what we could do as a single congregation. I realize that many of us are indeed impacted in this tough economic time, but don't let your fear get a hold of your heart. Whoever wishes to become great must be your servant. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom, the first will be last, and the last will be first. The last, that's you and I. We who are loved, ransomed by Jesus Christ, set free from whatever inhibits us, what restrains us, what chains us to lesser aspirations. We are set free to be great men and women, great in serving others, in emptying ourselves. This is our true greatness. This is our award, our acclaim, and this is indeed a noble profession. Amen.